My audiobooks.ai presents The Lost Stockpile, The Inspectors Locked Out of Iran's Nuclear Ruins. On June 10, 2026, the Board of Governors of the International Atomic Energy Agency passed a resolution demanding that Iran produce a complete inventory of its nuclear material and grant inspectors immediate access to its bombed enrichment sites. The vote formalized a fact that the agency's own report, document GOV/2026/33, had already made unmistakable. For the first time in the history of the non-proliferation regime, the world's nuclear watchdog cannot account for a near-weapons-grade uranium stockpile, because the country holding it was attacked, and afterward stopped letting anyone look. 2 months later, with ceasefire talks over the Strait of Hormuz stalled over compensation demands, that missing inventory hangs over everything. The diplomats are negotiating in the dark. The question is no longer how far Iran is from a weapon. The question is that nobody on Earth can prove where the material is. At myaudiobooks.ai, you can create your own audiobooks from prompts, turn your documents into audio, all with one subscription, and store your items in your own personal library. During our research into the primary IAEA board report, the accompanying board resolution, and the verification architecture that just failed, we found a story about what continuity of knowledge means and why losing it is the nightmare scenario. How a stockpile of 60% enriched uranium could vanish into tunnels the inspectors have never mapped, and why the most dangerous sentence in nuclear diplomacy is, "We can no longer confirm." Section 1. What the watchdog actually does. To understand what was lost, you have to understand what the inspectors were doing before the strikes. The International Atomic Energy Agency's safeguard system is not a police force. It is an accounting system.
Inspectors measure, seal, and camera watch declared nuclear material. Every cylinder of uranium hexafluoride gas, every centrifuge cascade, so that any diversion toward a weapon shows up as a discrepancy between the books and the inventory. The system's foundation is a dry bureaucratic phrase, continuity of knowledge. As long as the agency keeps its eyes and seals on the material without interruption, the world knows where it is, in what form, and at what purity. The system was built on a Cold War bargain. Under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, states without weapons agreed to forego them and open their nuclear programs to inspection. In exchange, they received access to peaceful nuclear technology and the assurance that everyone else's programs were being watched the same way. The arrangement held for half a century not because the inspectors could stop a determined state, but because they could see one early enough for the world to respond. Detection, not prevention, was always the product. The cameras and seals exist to make the timeline between decision and weapon visible. And visibility in nuclear diplomacy is nearly everything. Iran's program, before the attacks, was under the most intensive version of that accounting ever applied to a non-nuclear state. Cameras at the Natanz and Fordow enrichment plants, regular inspections, real-time enrichment monitors. The country was enriching uranium up to 60% purity, a level with no credible civilian purpose, a short technical step from the 90% used in weapons. And the agency could say so precisely because it could weigh and watch the stockpile. The reporting was grim, but it was certain. And certainty in this field is the difference between a crisis and a catastrophe. The strikes of the 2025 to 2026 conflict changed the epistemology of the Iranian nuclear program.
The fuel enrichment plant and pilot facility at Natanz were hit. The deeply buried Fordow plant was hit. And in the aftermath, Iran suspended cooperation with the agency entirely. The cameras went dark. The seals sat on rubble or on doors nobody was permitted to open. And the continuity of knowledge, the thing the entire inspection regime exists to preserve, was severed. The physical story matters because it is a study in asymmetry. Natanz's halls could be cratered. Fordow, buried under a mountain, absorbed the most advanced bunker-penetrating ordnance in the American arsenal, and the damage assessments have been contested ever since. But the material itself, uranium hexafluoride in cylinders, compact, chemically stable, and movable by truck, is the one component of a nuclear program that cannot be destroyed by an airstrike aimed at buildings. It can only be dispersed. A program's halls are fragile.
its inventory is not. That is the engineering fact underneath the diplomatic one, and it is why the post-strike question was never, was the program destroyed, but always, where did the cylinders go? Section 2. The report that says, we no longer know. The June board report is, for a technical document, an extraordinary read, because its central finding is an absence. The agency states it cannot verify the size, location, or enrichment level of Iran's uranium stockpile, cannot confirm whether enrichment has been suspended or resumed, and cannot account for the material that had been produced at the struck facilities. Independent analysts who reviewed the same report concluded that the highly enriched stockpile, material enriched to 60%, may have been moved into tunnel complexes at Esfahan, Fordow, or Natanz that the agency has never been permitted to map. To grasp the stakes, consider the quantity. Before the strikes, Iran's 60% stockpile was measured in the hundreds of kilograms.
Reconfigured, that is enough material for multiple nuclear devices after a short further enrichment step. The so-called breakout that every negotiation of the past two decades was designed to stretch or block. The entire architecture of nuclear crisis management assumes inspectors can measure the clock. As of the June report, the clock's face is covered. The enrichment math explains why 60% is the line that matters. Natural uranium is less than 1% fissile. Reactor fuel runs at 3 to 5%. Weapons material is 90%. The work of enrichment, spinning uranium gas through centrifuge cascades to concentrate the fissile isotope, is front-loaded. Getting from natural uranium to 60% consumes the overwhelming majority of the effort required to reach 90%. The last step, from 60 to weapons grade, is comparatively quick and can be done in a small, easily hidden cascade. That is why arms controllers treat a 60% stockpile as weapons materials anteroom, and why losing track of it is not a bookkeeping issue but the central fact of the crisis. The board's resolution answered with the only instrument it has, a formal demand for a full inventory and immediate access, reported out of Vienna with unusual speed. But resolutions do not open blast doors, and Iran's parliament responded to the strikes by legislating the suspension of cooperation, turning the inspector's exclusion from a battlefield fact into a legal one. Section 3. The verification gap is the crisis. Here is the analytical turn the daily coverage misses. The headlines frame the current moment as a negotiation problem. Compensation demands, sanctions relief, the Strait of Hormuz reopening, who blinked? But beneath the diplomacy sits a harder structural fact. Verification has collapsed, and every negotiating position is now built on estimates instead of measurement. When the IAEA cannot certify the stockpile, any agreement signed in this period is unverifiable on arrival. A deal to cap enrichment means nothing if no one can see the centrifuges. A deal to ship out the stockpile means nothing if no one can confirm what the stockpile is. The mechanics of the gap are worth naming precisely. A comprehensive safeguards agreement obliges a state to declare its nuclear material and keep that declaration current. The agency's job is to audit the declaration against physical reality. When inspectors lose access, the declaration freezes at its last verified state while reality keeps moving. Material can be enriched further, blended down, moved, or reprocessed, and the frozen ledger diverges further from the truth every day. Re-entering later does not simply resume the count. It requires rebuilding the entire chain of custody from the moment of interruption, a forensic reconstruction that can take months and may never fully close. The longer the cameras stay dark, the larger the uncertainty band the next verification must swallow. This is the nightmare the safeguard system was built to prevent, and it arrived not through treaty withdrawal or a declared weapons program, but through the physical destruction of the monitoring interface. Bombs can destroy centrifuge halls. They cannot destroy enriched uranium dispersed into tunnels, and the report's silence on the stockpile's location is the sound of that distinction. The result is a paradox that will define the next phase. Iran's program has been militarily damaged and diplomatically unconstrained at the same time, less capable and less known in equal and compounding measure. This content is for informational purposes only and does not constitute investment or policy advice. Section 4. The original angle. Darkness as leverage.
Setting the lost inventory against the stalled talks reveals the grimmest game-theoretic reading of the moment.
For Tehran, the missing stockpile is not just a vulnerability. It is leverage. An unmeasurable threat commands a premium precisely because it cannot be bounded. A counterparty negotiating over an unknown quantity pays for the worst case. For Washington and its partners, the same darkness inflates the pressure for military answers. Because intelligence estimates of a hidden stockpile carry ranges, and range-based planning drifts toward the pessimistic end. The information vacuum does not merely fail to prevent escalation, it prices it in from both sides. History has run this experiment before, and the result is not comforting. When Israel destroyed Iraq's Osirak reactor in 1981, the strike was celebrated as decisive, and Iraq responded by moving its program entirely into the covert track the inspectors were not watching, a program the world discovered only after a war years later. The lesson arms controllers took from Osirak was that striking a visible program without securing its material converts a monitored problem into an invisible one. The current moment is that lesson at industrial scale. The facilities were damaged on camera, and the stockpile left the frame. The agency, for its part, is now fighting for its own relevance. The safeguard system has absorbed cheating before. Iraq, Syria, North Korea. But those cases taught it that the accounting system only functions when inspectors stand inside the facilities. A watchdog that cannot enter cannot count. And a watchdog that cannot count becomes a commentator. The June resolution is best read not as pressure on Iran, but as the agency defending the premise of verification itself. At myaudiobooks.ai, you can listen to this story and thousands of others that explore the hidden science and mechanics behind the headlines. Section 5. What to look for next. The first signal is any limited access arrangement. A single camera rebooted. A single sealed hall opened. Even under heavy conditions, partial verification would tell the world more about the stockpile than any communique, because what Iran chooses to show first reveals what it can afford to reveal.
The second is the inventory question going to the Security Council. The board's demand has a fuse, and an escalation from Vienna to New York would mark the shift from technical dispute to legal enforcement track, with snapback-style consequences attached. The third is the tunnel complexes themselves. Any new satellite or intelligence reporting on activity at Esfahan, Fordow, or Natanz's underground sites will move markets and ministries faster than the negotiation readouts, because it bears directly on where the material is. The fourth is the Hormuz track. The compensation fight now blocking the talks is, underneath, an argument about who pays for a war that destroyed the monitoring system. And any compensation formula that trades money for restored access would be the first transactional path back to verification. The fifth is the sanctions clock. The remaining legal mechanisms from the old nuclear deal era carry expiration dates, and a decision to trigger or forfeit them will force every party to reveal whether it believes the stockpile can still be monitored at all. Each of these determines whether the lost stockpile becomes the first unaccounted weapons-grade inventory of the nuclear age, with a cautionary tale that rebuilt the inspection regime stronger than the war that broke it. Section 6. The broader pattern and open question. The broad pattern is that verification is a physical system pretending to be a legal one. Treaties and resolutions sustain it, but it lives or dies on cameras, seals, and inspectors' access badges, and all three are destructible.
The non-proliferation regime has now run its first real-world experiment in what happens when the accounting interface is bombed mid-measurement, and the answer is unsettling. The measurement does not degrade gracefully. It vanishes, and the world is left pricing an unknown with the most consequential discount rates in geopolitics. There is a second pattern, and it is about the sequence of force and oversight. Every previous crisis in the system asked whether inspections could stop a program. This one asks whether inspections can survive one. The answer matters far beyond this conflict, because every state watching now knows that the continuity of knowledge is a single air campaign away from interruption, and that whoever controls access after the strikes controls the story the numbers tell. The lesson being written in real time is that bombing a program is a statement. Securing its material is a policy. And the world has the first without the second. Which leaves the open question.
when the inventory is finally taken, by inspectors returning to the ruins or by whoever finds the tunnels first, will the books balance? Or will the gap between the last verified count and the first new one become the most dangerous number in the world? The cameras are dark. The seals are waiting. The stockpile is somewhere, and every day it stays uncounted, the price of finding it rises. At myaudiobooks.ai, you can create fiction, nonfiction, and turn your documents into audio, all stored in one place with a single subscription. Plus, get instant access to thousands of audiobooks and deep dive investigations. Learn more today at myaudiobooks.ai. This concludes the audiobook narration. Thank you for listening.